We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thank you so much for making this part of your day. My name is Nick Schmitz, and I will be your host on this Sunday, April 21st, 2024. 4 days from the NFL draft. It is 4 days away, I guess, depending on how you look at it. If you're including today, it's five. If you're not including today, it's four. It's 4 days. Joining me today to talk about the NFL draft and the Green Bay Packers and their first-round big board is NFL draft expertise.
Expert.
Yeah. Jimmy Christensen. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
What's up, man? I'm here for it. You know, I can spew draft takes that bet against me. If you're a betting man, listen to the show and be like, clearly not happening. Let's not bet this or let's bet against it. That's the strategy.
Well, Jimmy, you took a whole week off and you're back joining the show again. So it's, I always love talking with you. It's always a lot of fun. Pre-show, post-show, the actual show, yeah. Right? I will admit, pre and post show are usually a whole lot more fun, though, than the actual show for me.
Yeah, but a little less censored.
Yes, a little bit less censored in what we're able to talk about. So,
I was surprised, though, that it being 420, we weren't going to do just our preferred blunt rotation with the draft candidates. No? Just kidding.
Well, Jimmy, I don't know about you. I won't speak for you, but... whether people believe it or not, I've never done that in my life. So I would have zero knowledge of anything. So
according to my drug tests, I have not either.
All right. Well, that's what we'll go with, according to Jimmy's drug tests. Man, we're just starting off strong here, Jimmy. We're just basically telling the listener that we're like bad people and that they probably shouldn't listen to us. The NFL draft, Jimmy, is the first round is this coming Thursday. So we are, you know, it's upon us. It's going to be here before you know it. And I know you and I, we both love watching the draft. you know, this year, it'll be interesting to see what Green Bay does, right? Last year, we went into the draft knowing that Jordan Love was the starting quarterback, but we didn't know what that was going to look like, right? Yeah. And we really didn't know a whole lot about what the team was going to look like. Well, now it feels like we got a pretty good understanding of what this team looks like, and there are definitely positions, you know, out there that Green Bay needs to address. And it's something that'll be very interesting to watch, you know, especially with the first 2 to 3 rounds. Green Bay has never historically, historically in the last 20 years, they've never really been a team to draft for need. Typically their draft philosophy is best player available, take them at that point when you're ready to make a selection. Green Bay, very notorious for trading back. Although Gutekunst, in his tenure, has not been afraid to trade up and you know, add some pieces. But it'll be interesting because, and I say that because, you know, a position, we'll talk about it here in a few minutes, but safety, you know, outside of Xavier McKinney, like, it's a big freaking question mark. And this is not a fantastic draft for the safety position. Which, you know, it will be interesting. You know, how does Green Bay, knowing that they need that position, but it's not a great draft, will they kind of break their rule and potentially draft for need if they feel like they've got somebody, you know, when they're picking that they would like to do, to go for? So it'll be interesting to see. But, Jimmy, today we're going to be looking at Green Bay's we're going to be building Green Bay's first-round big board. And so you and I, we talked about it, you know, how do we want to do this? And so we've got five players that are, that have first round grades and then one that's maybe kind of a first, second round grade, depending, you know, again, that's the other thing with the draft that I love. Like, you can do all the research you want and every website will tell you something different. So, so please, like, if one of these names comes up, you're like, that's not a first round grade. It's like, we looked at The Athletic. So we'll put that out there. We looked at The Athletic. So if you don't like what we have to say about the grade, go blame The Athletic.
And it's important to say, too, we did this as if the Packers, like you said, Goody will, like, he is not afraid of trading up. We did this as if they don't make a move. Like, they stay at 25 and pick. So there's going to be players that, like, people want on there. Like, Graham Barton was one that I talked to you about before the show recorded. We didn't include him because he's most likely going to be gone before 25. So there's some players that, yes, are probably on the big board. It would take a trade up to get it. We didn't include those ones. We did people that could fall to us.
Yeah, so let's get into it. Let's get in with the first player here. The player everybody that seemingly wants Green Bay to take, which is Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. You know, he's 6'1.5", 203 pounds. Interesting. It's an interesting player because he plays corner, but he's got experience at safety. He could fill that safety role if they wanted to move him there. Last week when Brennan and I talked about ranking the positions, Cooper DeJean came up. Brennan seems to think that if they take him, they would move him to safety and not play him at corner. You know, if he does, wherever he goes, whether it's Green Bay or elsewhere, if he plays corner, he will be the first white corner since, we talked about it before the show.
Somebody with an S.
Jason Sehorn from the Giants back in like 2000, right? Yeah. That's how long it's been since there's been a starting white corner in the NFL. And that's not a joke. Like, that's a legitimate thing. Google it. There are articles that have been written about it since Cooper DeJean has come up. In the draft, like that's not hyperbole in any way.
People wouldn't be as, I'm convinced, people would not be as crazy for him if he was not an albino cornerback. You know what I, like, that's the part that's just like, yes, he's versatility, athletic, but everyone's that's bumped up his stock, at least in people's mind. We're like, we want him. We want that anomaly on our team.
Well, and you know, he's interesting because, you know, he's an interesting pick if Green Bay would take him for two reasons, because safety is obviously a position of need right now. You know, maybe Green Bay moves him there, but corner is also a position that it's weird right now with Green Bay because you have Jair, you know, moving forward, hopefully things kind of settle down from all the drama that kind of picked up near the end of last year. So you feel good about Jair. And everybody likes Eric Stokes, but he hasn't been healthy for the longest time. So, like, you have a question mark on him. What's going to happen there, right? Then you have Keyshawn Nixon, who, you know, you probably like as your nickel corner, right? You probably don't like him on the outside as much. And then they kept Valentine, who played well last year, but do you really want him starting 17, 18, 19 games, right? At this point, I would say no, right? Maybe he builds off of last year and it turns into a yes. But it's interesting because corner, like in a perfect world, corner is not necessarily a position that you need in Green Bay.
Yeah.
But we don't have a perfect world right now. So he could literally fit in at either corner or safety.
Yeah, and it also goes into if Stokes is healthy this year, they have to decide on his fifth-year option pretty shortly. So it's if you're not going to take it, which I don't expect them to pick up his fifth-year option, seeing he's been hurt the last one and a half season, couldn't be on the field last year. If they like him this next year, maybe they do it, get him another deal, but this is just kind of that insurance as well of Stokes realistically could be going into his last season as a Packer. So getting somebody in to kind of to follow along. And Valentine's progression, like everyone, we saw it with Stokes, had a great first year, struggled the second year before he got hurt. So we'll see what happens. I think getting depth at cornerback is going to be something they do in the draft. I don't know if it'll be in the first round, but I do expect them to get some kind of depth there. Just because, like you said, we don't want another year where Valentine and Ballantyne are corner one and two going out there against Justin Jefferson like they had to last year. So
yeah. Well, and you know, the other thing too that is interesting with Cooper DeJean, and it's weird to talk about in the sense that Green Bay, one of the strengths of roster building that Green Bay seemingly has year to year is usually they are very good at seeing down the road and replacing parts and pieces of the team before they're actually needed. Yep. And Cooper DeJean right now would actually do that if you draft him maybe in 2 years, because one of the things that he did very well at Iowa is punt returns, right? Yep. And now right now Keyshawn Nixon is primarily the kickoff returner, right? But could he, if you draft him, develop him, does he maybe in 2 years, if the Packers move on from Keyshawn Nixon, does he take over as the return guy? Now, obviously, that's you're not drafting him for that particular reason, especially in the first round. But there's just that added dynamic that he can bring to the table, special teams-wise, which is great because coaches are constantly looking for players to contribute, especially young guys, on special teams. And if you could have Keyshawn Nixon as your kickoff returner and Cooper DeJean as your punt returner, and both of them are explosive, I mean, that just – it does bring added value to him. Especially as a rookie.
Yeah, 100%.
So, all right, well, let's move on. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, all five of these guys that we're going to be talking about, they, with the exception of the last guy that we'll talk about, they all are positions of need, it feels like. But they also, like, it obviously first-round picks usually fill position of need while also fitting that role, that mold of being best player available.
Yep.
So, you know, the next position here is center. Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. He's 6'3", 328 pounds. Center, Jimmy, you know, we've talked about that as a position of need. It seems like, you know, everything that we've heard out of the building makes it seem like they're not in love with their center. Right. You know, you've got Zach Tom right now, who's been playing right tackle and who's been a stud. And everything that we're reading about him is that, like, he could go on to be one of the best offensive tackles in the league. And it's funny because also what you're reading is that that's not even his best position, right? That, like, they could move him to center, which is apparently, again, I won't pretend to know everything about Zach Tom, but apparently that's his best position. That's his best fit.
Yep.
But he's been playing so well at right tackle. It's like, why move him? right?
Yeah.
So, and it feels like if that's the case, leave him at right tackle. And if you don't love your center, you know, spot right now, go draft one. Green Bay has, you know, Green Bay has seemingly had, they haven't had a bad center, it feels like, in a long time, right? And for a while, they had some really good centers. And, you know, getting another center, I mean, I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility for Green Bay to draft a center at 25, given how they feel currently. Offensive line is, it's a weird thing, Jimmy, right now. It feels like offensive line, on one hand, you feel really good about it. And on the other hand, it feels like there's no depth behind anything that you have right now.
Yeah. And I think going with them, one, I have the Ringer draft guide up, and I think they described him in probably my favorite way seeing a player be described, and they compared him to SpongeBob SquarePants because of his body, just built like a square. But one thing they did mention too with him is that he strong motor, very physical, but he has the ability to play multiple interior offensive line spots. So going into the plan that we just said before, the Packers like to draft replacements a year or two ahead of time. If they want to roll out Josh Myers again, and we have an opening at right guard with John Runyon Jr. leaving, obviously we have Sean Ryan there, but he was in rotation last year, didn't even outdo Runyon a lot of the times that second half of the year. So if we have Powers Johnson at the right guard for a little bit, this is the last year Josh Myers, you move him over, or you move Zach Tom over. It just gives the team options too. If he's able to play it, and you know the Packers, they love a person who can play multiple spots on the offensive line. So if you have somebody else in there that gives you options at center, gives you options at right guard, is an aggressive run blocker, as he's been described, like that's great. And I could definitely see that happening.
Many of you, like myself, are Wisconsin sports fans. While it's not Packer season anymore, there's still some really exciting action coming up in the world of Wisconsin sports. The Bucks are getting ready to kick off their postseason run, which is hopefully a lot more fun than their regular season run. And while the Brewers, meanwhile, are off to a hot start, hopefully they can continue that to start their 2024 campaign. But whether you're a Bucks fan, a Brewers fan, or a fan of any other hockey, baseball, or basketball team right now, there's never been a better time to start playing Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your knowledge into serious cash. Right now, you can win 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and MLB entries today. Prize Picks is super simple to play, and I'm able to log in, make my picks, and submit my entry in under 60 seconds. Add in the ease of Apple Pay for quick deposits, easy withdrawals, tons of player selections, and injury insurance, and you can easily see why Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going LeBron James and Steph Curry in their play-in tournaments. I can't wait to see what they do to try to keep their playoff hopes alive. Whatever picks you make, and regardless of who you select, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, you know, and I'm even just looking at some of like the weaknesses that, you know, The Athletic has listed for him here. You know, relatively limited experience as a full-time starter. You know, they'd like to see better pad level and explosion into the first contact. They say he's got low, below average body control and consistency of squaring up, moving to targets. And, you know, it's so interesting. You know, these are all things that, you know, might be concerning, but it's not a guarantee. But for whatever reason, I don't know what Green Bay does in their building, but they have a tendency of just making potential weaknesses of offensive linemen just like not exist.
Yep.
Like, I mean, their entire starting offensive line right now is like, with the exception, I think, of Elgton Jenkins and Josh Myers, I think they were both second round picks. The rest of them were like fourth or later. Right. Yep. I mean, and you think about David Bakhtiari, he was a fourth round pick.
Yep.
Right. Like, Green Bay does a fantastic job of grabbing offensive linemen. And I mean, Rashid Walker, I mean, wasn't he a rookie last year or like a first year starter and like a sixth round pick?
Yeah.
And it's just late. And like, you know, in most franchises, you'd be like, that's a revolving door. And for Green Bay, he was maybe for like the first 2 weeks as a starter, and then you never heard of him again because he was playing so well. So, you know, that's one thing that Green Bay, like, when you're looking at weaknesses with offensive linemen, obviously they're all going to, you know, coming from college to pro, there's always going to be some type of gap, some type of jump, but Green Bay seems to really shrink that time and weaknesses and turn those things into strengths, you know, really quickly. It's one of the nice things about Green Bay and their offensive linemen is, like, for the most part, you draft them, especially the higher draft picks that they've used. You're just like, all right, this guy's going to be a stud for like 8 years. So that's certainly an option for them. You know, again, it'll be interesting to see what they do. You know, I don't know if offensive lineman is going to be, you know, what they want to do with their first pick. But I know I talked last week about this, and I know it's going to sound like a broken record. Offensive linemen are never sexy picks, right? Like, you draft an offensive lineman in the first round, and you're like, I don't know who this guy is. He doesn't score points. He doesn't do anything, right? And it's like, you never like it. And then when you never hear about him because he is just a stonewall on your offensive line, and, you know, for, you know, the last 25 years, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, you know, straight up because they're never getting hit, and now just doing that for Jordan Love. Right now on the offense, like, that's – they've got all their skill position players for the most part. Now it's just keeping them all clean. So offensive line would certainly be you know, wouldn't be a surprise. Next is Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, offensive tackle. We got two offensive tackles. Both are big boys. This guy is 6'8", 322, Jimmy. 6'8", human beings. There's not many of them that play football. that is very, very big in size. And, you know, if Green Bay went offensive tackle in the first round, I think it would tell you, I think, their plans for – you know, I think depending on who they draft, you can kind of guess as to what their plan is, because, you know, if you take an offensive tackle and if the idea is that he is supposed to, you know, play right tackle, well, okay, if he's going to end up playing right tackle, that means that Zach Tom is probably moving to center, right? Yeah. That's what it would hint at. And, I mean, Rashid Walker played well enough that I can't imagine that you would draft a tackle wanting him to play left tackle and, you know, just kind of move Rashid Walker down. But, I mean, you know, who knows? But definitely offensive tackle is something that they feel good about between Rashid Walker right now and Zach Tom. But, again, the versatility of Zach Tom to be able to move around on the offensive line, right, if you don't love any of the centers that you can grab in the first round and you want a tackle, right, you take a tackle that you love and then move Zach Tom over to center, that's certainly a possibility. Tyler Guyton might seem to, you know, be an option for that.
Yeah, he'd be one too, like you're saying. He had one game at left tackle. The rest besides have all been at right. If you bring him in, I know you mentioned moving Zach Tom to center, but there's also that option, like I mentioned before, with Powers Johnson. Zach Tom can play guard. The way they described him this offseason was he's a Pro Bowl right tackle, he's an All-Pro guard, and he's a Hall of Fame center, which in my mind then is like, well, get his ass to center, because like, that'd be great. But it gives him options. Like, it, and the Packers are in such great position on that offensive line. Like you said, the depth isn't there, and this would address that as well. But with players being so versatile, they can move stuff around. If they bring, or even if they draft him and say like, hey, you know what? Because he only has two seasons as a starter. Like, you need to develop a little bit more. I don't put it past the Packers. A lot of teams, I'd say 30 out of 32 teams, would not draft the first rounder and have him sit a year. The only reason I said 30 and not 31 is because the Chiefs did it with Mahomes. So, like, that's the anomaly outside the Packers. But I could see them taking him and even the next tackle that we'll talk about and just letting him develop. He might, because that was even the plan with Elgton Jenkins. Granted, not the first round pick, but second, he didn't become a full-time starter until Lane Taylor, I think, was in front of him, until he got hurt for the season, and then he became a full-time starter. So they'll take an offensive lineman high and let them develop. And like you said, we're the damn offensive line factory. They can come here and somehow they'll be able to play and be serviceable. And I know we have our Tyler Guyton and, spoiler alert, Mims at home with Caleb Jones being a tall athletic freak. But bringing in another 6'8 guy, big body, to steal from Ben Solak from the Ringer. 6'8 is a bit, and 320 is hard to get around. And that's what you want as a tackle. A big boy that's hard to get around, and he definitely fits that.
Yeah, you know, and again, you know, we talked about, you know, I talked about with the last, you know, with center and just the offensive line in general. Like, you know, here are some of the weaknesses they have listed for him. And, like, obviously there are things that you would be concerned about, but in Green Bay, these all seem like things that Green Bay is going to immediately address and would, you know, get him much better at. You know, weaknesses here, tall player who plays too tall, limiting his ability to drive and sustain, right? That's something that seems easily correctable and something that I almost imagine Green Bay would be able to fix in the first, like, week of having him there, right? You know, says he could have potential issues finding his anchor against leverage bull rush. Like, okay, again, that seems like something that Green Bay would be able to, you know, for the most part, be able to figure out how to get him to, you know, overcome that. So, you know, obviously every player comes with strengths and weaknesses, but it just doesn't seem like, for, you know, for whatever reason with Green Bay, like, you don't seem overly worried about Green Bay not being able to figure those weaknesses out and how to address them. So, yeah. All right. Next here, we have Amarius Mims from Georgia, offensive tackle. Again, he's 6'8", 340. So you thought the last guy, you thought Tyler Guyton was big. I mean, they're both the same size, but, you know, you got an extra almost 18 pounds here. This is a big boy here. And again, just another offensive tackle. You know, again, if they would draft an offensive tackle, again, I feel like that kind of gives you an idea of what they're going to want to be doing on the rest of the offensive line. But again, not necessarily that Green Bay is going to do this. And, you know, tackle, you can argue whether it's a position of need or not, but just, again, like we've talked about with Zach Tom's versatility to move around on the offensive line, if they felt like they wanted to grab another tackle and upgrade there and just move Zach Tom around, you know, Mims would be, you know, and the other nice thing about Mims, which, you know, this doesn't hold any, like, actual water moving forward because the draft is always a crapshoot, but, you know, whenever you can draft somebody from, you know, a place like Georgia where they play for national titles, it seems like, all the time, right, you feel pretty good about him being able to come in, know what to do. You know, he's got the experience playing against high-level athletes out of the SEC, right? It just feels like you'd feel pretty good about that as well.
Yeah, he has experience, but it is minimal because he started 8 games? Yep. But he has experience practicing against high-level players every day in practice in a great system like Georgia. He would be one that I would be shocked if they draft him and he plays week one. He's definitely one that they would draft and develop with just the potential in mind. That's definitely a project player, which the Packers are not afraid of taking, like I just said with Tyler Guyton as well, who might be a little bit more refined with a season and a half playing as a starter, or two seasons as a starter. But Mims, man, he is not just big. The dude is athletic. He is a freak. So getting him in there and just with the development that the Packers have shown to be able to do, I think would be awesome. He's a player too that you don't really know where he could fall in this draft. Like, he's one that realistically could go 14, 15, 16 range or fall to us at 25. Like, it all depends on what teams see in him, how much that potential they think they can develop and harness into a great player. So he'd be interesting to come to the Packers. I definitely wouldn't hate it, but it's something that we're not going to see investment on very quickly, or returns on the investment quickly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, you know, and I will say, you know, you talked about it with both Guyton and Mims. I will say personally, I'm getting a little tired of project players.
Yeah.
In the first round, right? Yeah. Because like the NFL is evolving so much that like your first round picks, like in reality, like should be starting year one. Like that's just the way the NFL is moving, right? And if nothing else, like year two, like, I mean,
yeah,
you don't have the time to waste anymore, you know, because the whole idea of the NFL now is find a star quarterback, pay him trillions of dollars, right? Yeah. Give him the U.S. debt ceiling for a contract, and then draft rookies and pay them nothing and get that 4-year window where you can pay great young players nothing. So,
But that's the thing that, like, Goody does not care.
I know he doesn't.
No, I know.
He's been doing it, but
it wasn't Rashawn Gary, Van Ness, AJ Dillon.
And luckily for him, most of those projects have turned out pretty well, right? But when you start taking projects and, you know, like Belichick, and they don't work out, you know, it's like that's where you get the key,
The key to it, though, is I think what's also making it easier to stomach a lot of the projects is one, like you said, it's turning out, but he's hitting on so many second, third, fourth, fifth. I can't say third. He's hit on one or maybe two, depending on Sean Ryan, third round picks, but second, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Like we have starters in pretty much every round of the draft now.
You can give him Tucker Kraft.
That's the one right now for third round, my boy Tucker, but Sean Ryan, maybe. Let's see if he starts this year and does well, but he's hitting in other rounds like Carl Brooks last year. Later round pick from Bowling Green.
Well, and it's also as frustrating as it is, they typically as of late have been taking projects at positions that they don't need to necessarily have an impact right away. Like, you know, I don't know if they intended for Van Ness to be a project. I'll be honest, at 15, like as the 15th overall pick, like
Rashawn Gary was 12. So,
and it's true. But you know, when Gary was taken, they had the Smith Bros, right? Yeah. And so, like, that's where you're also getting a little bit easier to stomach because you don't feel like, oh, well, here's a first-round pick that's not outperforming, you know, guys that he clearly should be. But, okay, we can digress on the project talk here. We'll get to our last player here that we decided on. This one is definitely probably, I would say, of the five guys that we talked about, probably the least likely to be the pick at 25, and that is Jaden Hicks, safety out of Washington State. This is definitely – this one would – given everything that we know about this year's draft, this would definitely break the mold. He probably would not be best available at 25 if they stayed put and drafted at 25. So it would definitely break away from the mold of drafting best available, but it is certainly a position, like we talked about with Cooper DeJean, you know, if they would draft him and move him to safety, it certainly fits a need there. We put him on the list. I doubt it for a lot of reasons. I think Xavier McKinney would be the biggest reason as to why they wouldn't do this, because even though you don't really know who the starter opposite McKinney would be, you feel like you got such a great player in him that there are other ways to fill that position without reaching on a player and potentially drafting better, you know, just better overall talent at the spot. But he's 6'2", 211, you know, and just, again, he fits a position of need for Green Bay. And, you know, if he would turn out to be – this is the other thing, too, I will say, Jimmy. Green Bay does not have a great history as of late drafting the safety position, at least with higher draft picks, right? You look back at Clinton Dix, that didn't work out super well. You drafted Darnell Savage. He wasn't bad, but never really lived up to what you hoped he would have been. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was it Randall or Rollins was drafted as a safety and moved to corner, or drafted as a corner and moved to safety. I don't remember which one it was, but it's not a position that Green Bay has, you know, drafted overly well at with high draft picks as of late.
Yeah, and like you hit on too, this is probably the pick where if people are for some reason still listening and be like, that's dumb. But again, this is not one that is best player available. He might not even be the best safety, but all the safeties right now are in the same class of their own of like, it could hit, also could go really bad, that it's a kind of a crapshoot at that position. It's come down to personal preference. Like, I know some people like Tyler Newbin from Minnesota. Some people hate him because he had bad testing. That Javon Bullard from Georgia, Kalen Bullock, he can't tackle to save his life, so I doubt people are going to be happy to see him. And then, again, we said different draft boards for these websites. Like, Athletic has Jaden Hicks 39. The Ringer has him 85th. So, like, there's such a big difference in a lot of these players that when you get to this one, I don't see the Packers drafting for need. That's not really Goody's style. They're not in a position – or they're in a position right now to not have to do that the way their team's set up. If for some reason they stray from the norm, he's a possibility. Again, I think it's the least likely out of all this, out of the group. But looking at the team, you have to add at least one big position of need out there, especially with Cooper DeJean probably being gone at that point. Somebody else has to step in at that safety.
Yeah. So, again, he's the least likely, like we said, but it definitely – I would be more surprised just because it would feel like a little bit of a reach at 25. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't know how upset I would be, because then you at least on paper, ideally, have your two starting safeties. When you look at it, you say, all right, like, I mean, that's ideally what you'd have. You'd have McKinney and then Hicks. Maybe he doesn't start week one, but, you know, maybe by the middle of the season, he's your starting safety, you know, across from McKinney. So given this safety class, I would be really surprised if Green Bay spent a first round pick on safety. It's not a great class, but that could be potentially the reason why they end up doing it. If they feel like they like him and they don't feel like they can get him later in the draft, and it's like, hey, if we like Jaden Hicks, like, it's 25 or we don't get him, right? I don't think that'll be the case, but with how thin the safety position is, that may play a factor into it. It's just like, hey, we really like him, and this is the only place we feel like we can get him.
Yeah, there's that. And then for me, safety and inside linebacker, they're definitely going to draft. I think that'll come, for me, earliest the second round. I could see third, fourth. And which the one thing I hate about drafting for need, which sometimes you just have to do, and it lines up to where it's the best player and your need. But right now, if we take him with the first round pick, even a second round pick, any safety, and they suck, you're stuck playing them for a few years. Like, I'm sure the Packers will still make that decision, but they have a much longer leash to be like, okay, this first year sucked. Let's give him his sophomore year, see how it goes. Maybe his third. Like, it's harder to be like, no, this guy sucks, get him off the team, when it's a first, second round pick.
Yeah, well, second round pick would be easier because they took Josh Jones with a second round pick, and I think he was gone after his second year.
Yeah, but, good point. Josh Jackson too from Iowa.
Yeah, he was the corner from Iowa. Yeah. So safety definitely a position of need. Excuse me. Although it the only way I see them doing anything at safety in the first round is if it's Cooper DeJean and they move him over there. You know, he's listed in the draft as a corner slash safety. You know, although the last time they took a corner slash safety out of Iowa worked out pretty well, Micah Hyde. So, you know, maybe
Just maybe. Sign his ass then. He's a free agent. Let's not do this. Just bring him back for a year. Worry about safety next year.
Yeah, there you go. So, but there you have it. That's Green Bay's big board as far as what we decided would be, you know, some good players to target that would realistically be around at 25. You know, real quick, Jimmy, you and I did this a couple of weeks ago. You added it on there and in the game that we were playing, and I screwed it up because I said I was the host. So we are now four-ish days away, depending on when you're listening, to the draft. And the question you asked me was, is Green Bay going to draft at 25 specifically? Are they essentially meaning they're not trading back, they're not trading up? How do you feel today? Like, do you think Green Bay trades up? Do you think they trade back? Do you think they stay put?
Right now, I have a feeling they're going to trade up. If they like a guy like Graham Barton, if for some reason Mitchell falls, probably won't. He's considered top, for sure top two. Some people consider him top cornerback in the draft. Or if they really like Cooper DeJean and they know they have to trade up a few spots to get him, they have the capital to do it. I definitely see right now, I'd say my gut is a trade up.
Trade up. Okay. Interesting. I don't know. I feel like they trade back. So we both agree. We don't think they're standing pat at 25.
Yeah.
I don't know. This year just feels like the year where they feel really good about their roster. Yeah. It doesn't feel like anything that aligns with their team needs right now. And again, I know they don't draft for need, but it doesn't feel like team needs right now. Safety, inside linebacker, right? Like, you're not trading up for any of that in this year's draft, right? Nope. And like, offensive line, they could use some help, but they don't need enough help where it's like, you know, is the guy that you want to trade up to at 18, how much better is he than somebody you could nab at 25, right? Yeah. Like, and so like that's just like, I feel like they like their team well enough that they don't feel like they need to, not that they won't be aggressive, but just like the way the draft itself lays out, the positions that are really good versus the ones that aren't so good and what they're wanting to do. I wouldn't be as surprised about a trade back. And I mean, I think that just speaks to how much they like their team.
They have 11 picks. So if they trade back, for me, it's get 2025 capital then at that point. Like, you'll still have 10 more. Obviously, still get one this round, but I'd be more interested in getting stuff for 2025 than two and kind of add to that. Because as we know now, we have tied for the most draft picks out of any team. So if they do trade back and get more picks, hopefully it's for 2025. And then we can have the same conversation next year of how the hell do the Packers have so many draft picks.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I know, Jimmy, you and I both, like, we love watching the draft. Your wife, by the way, I remember this from last year. She has my favorite thing of all time with the draft, which was you guys were doing yard work last year on Friday. And you were kind of getting on her like, hey, we need to get this done because the draft, you know, and this is night two, right? Night two. So we've already had round one. And your wife, I love her so much. She's not a sports person, right? So context for the story. She is not a sports person
at all.
And she's like, didn't they just do that last night? Like, just no idea that it's like, no, honey, that was round one. There's six more to go.
She was shocked when she found out it was 3 days. She's like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah.
Sports at all. I just, when I heard that story, I was just like, man, that is so great. I love that. And the fact that she was like, she's like, all right, yeah, great. Like, fine. Like, you know, because not every wife would be like, some wives would be like, well, that's too bad. We're doing yard work.
I think she just wanted me to stop complaining. So that's why she was finally like, that's fine. Go inside. I won't have to hear you grunt every time you pick something up. So.
All right. Well, Jimmy, thank you for joining me today. Real quick, anything you want to plug? How can people follow your work? Anything like that?
Nothing to plug right now. Just kind of been hanging out. But follow me on Twitter, Jimmy_C08. Once I get back in the swing of things, everything will be posted there. I'm excited for the draft to happen. I'm excited for like the 2 or 3 days of arguing pointlessly on Packers Twitter after about how we were great or how we were awful. and then back to, and then to the dead time of the off season where I don't have to hear about thresholds and Raya scores and see people argue. So,
yeah. So, well, great. And you can also always, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at producer Nick LB. Although, like I say, every episode, I really don't, I don't go on there. So if you want to give me a follow, like, great. But you're probably not going to see a whole lot from me. But Jimmy, as always, it was a fun conversation. Thank you so much for joining me today. Next week, you should be off next week. You pinch hit today, which I appreciate. So not scheduled for next week. Next week, though, Jimmy, would be a real test of your knowledge because I believe next week is breaking down all of the day's pre-picks.
I could barely break down day or project day one pick.
So, well, thank you, everybody, for spending time with us on this Sunday. Enjoy the draft this week. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. And as always, go Pack Go.